When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of a woman she is, that she is a sinner." And Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One of them owed 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now which one of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." Jesus said, "You have judged correctly." He then turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but this woman has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whosoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Thy faith has saved you. Go in peace."
As we saw our Bible text there, comes from Luke chapter 7. It's a quite interesting story there. There's a lot on it, and we'll brief in this for a few minutes here. Anyway, we're going to be talking about seeing people through Jesus' eyes. Okay, as you know, first service of the year, so happy new year to you all, to those that I didn't wish that. So, new beginnings, new chances. It's time for a reset. We can start fresh. New opportunities knocking at the door. And the question is, what would we, or what would you do differently than the year that just ended? What kinds of commitments, resolutions, decisions will you make for the new year that just began? Resolutions have a way of getting us up and running. It is good to start the year with resolutions, but it's better to stick to it, right? So I want to encourage you then to do a weekly resolution. How about that? Go week by week. In this way, you'll be more encouraged there. So on verse 36 on the text that we read, we can say without doubt that Simon, that Pharisee, his motive was either to entrap Jesus or to find some reason to accuse him, as we're told that the Pharisees were always looking for an opportunity to prove Jesus' wrongdoings. The two main characters beside Jesus Christ in this story are the woman and the Pharisee. The woman was spoke of as a sinner. The Pharisee was a sinner too, but not of the same kind as the woman were. Yet, he scarcely seems to have been conscious that he was a sinner as well. Because, as a Pharisee, it was basically that meant that outwardly he was a good, upright, religious man. He attempted and focused to keep the law of Moses. He tithed his income. He fasted regularly. He prayed at least 3 times every single day. He never missed in his attendance at the synagogue. He was a decent man who was respected as a religious leader in the community. In the way of viewing, the Pharisees had a perfect life before God. The woman was well known for her bad reputation. People were pointing fingers at her, but something had happened to her before she had followed Jesus into the house. She carried into her hand a box of costly perfume. She fell at the master's feet. She wept, bathing his feet with her tears, then drying off the tears with her hair, kissing Jesus' feet, and then anointing his feet with the ointment. This was an expression of the deep love for the one who had forgiven her sin. It is amazing to notice Jesus' composure as this woman wept on his feet, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. I don't think that any of us here or any other man could have dealt with this potentially embarrassing and awkward situation the way Jesus did. We would probably feel ashamed, what's going on, right, of people looking at us and judging not only the woman, but us, in how we, knowing about her story, could allow that situation. The intrusion of that woman was intolerable by the respected Pharisee because of her evil reputation, as I said, and she was not an invited guest. So she was a sinner. The Bible tells us clearly that. Evidently a great sinner, for the Lord speaks of her sins, which are many, Jesus said. The Pharisee called her a sinner with emphasis. He emphasized that. Such a sinner should not be touched. She was a sinner, but so was Simon. But the lady, the woman, had the advantage that she was conscious about her situation. While the Pharisee was proudly unconscious of it. He would not recognize where he was. She was just enjoying Christ's presence. She was not concerned about what other people would think or say about her. She was just focused on her task, what she was doing for the one who had saved her. All that Simon could see was the public image of shame that woman was bringing to Jesus Christ and to himself as a host on that evening. He expected that Jesus, as a wise teacher, would rebuke and reject that woman's intention as insulting, because that was to be expected from their culture. They would avoid even talking with a woman in a public place. Can you imagine a sinful woman like this woman's had in her reputation? By watching what was going on, Simon, he didn't express himself. He didn't say a word. He was just watching and thinking, and he probably made some conclusions about Jesus Christ. First, that man is not a prophet, as he would know what kind of woman was anointing his feet. Judging, again, the outward. Second point, if he knew what kind of woman she was, as a good teacher of the law, he would strongly rebuke her. Take her away. don't do this. Jesus would have stopped her. And third, since he allowed her to anoint his feet, he was no prophet and should not be acknowledged as such. The whole situation brought shame to the Pharisees, not only Simon, but all the ones who were present there. According to their religion, a godly man should keep himself altogether away from all who were wicked, from all sinners, because the touch of a sinner would defile them. But that whole time, Jesus knew what was going on in Simon's mind. And he goes, "Simon, listen to this. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, which is a lot of money, and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both of them equally. Now, which one of them will love him more?" Was that a tricky question? When Jesus inquired him from his conclusion, there was just one possible answer. So reluctantly, he answered, "I suppose, perhaps, maybe, you know, the one who had a larger debt?" Just guessing. His feeling was that something was coming. He couldn't say with conviction, "I'm sure," the one who had owned more, who had a bigger debt. "So you have judged it rightly," Jesus said. "Yes, point to the proud Pharisee." Again, he got it right. What a surprise. So, in a beautiful parable, Jesus explained to Simon the secret of the woman's love and her act of devotion. He got the right answer for Jesus' question, but the question is, did he really understand its application? Two thoughts may be noted here. First, the debts of the two men were different, but both were debtors and neither of them could pay it fully. They had no way of doing that. So, sinners differ as to the amount of their debt to God. But those who have sinned least are as unable to pay as those who have sinned most. There isn't a small or bigger sin. All sin has the same weight before God. But sin, though, has different consequences on the sinner. Second, both of those men were forgiven. That was the only way they could become free from their debts. So the only hope for sinners is in the divine mercy. God's forgiveness is astonishing. It's great enough for all sinners. It doesn't matter how bad people think they have sinned. When God forgives, He totally wipes out the worst sins. And He forgets about them as well. Jesus showed Simon that the woman had shown more love and respect than he did. She had a deeper sense of her sin than Simon had. She had shown passion while Simon was completely indifferent in Jesus' presence. The more we realize our sinfulness, the greater is our love for Christ when we are forgiven. It is often true that the worst sinners make the best Christians. They love more because they owe more to Christ, as the load they were carrying was almost unbearable. Moreover, those sinners want to compensate for the time they missed when they did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But the salvation is absolutely the same for both, right? It doesn't matter how big your sin was, when Christ forgave and saved you, that was it. Done. Sealed. Right? Amen? So Jesus Christ assured the woman, your faith had saved you. Faith in Jesus Christ not only saved her from the guilty of sin, but also from the tyranny of its power. She was now freed from the very love of sin. His grace saved her. His words assured her. It was not the tears of her eyes nor the kisses of her lips that saved her, but her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What was the Pharisees' mistake? The trouble of thinking about ourselves being good people is that the better we get, the worse we might become. Do you get the dangers of that? So say that again. The better we feel we get, the worse we might become. You know, keeping all the rules, going to all the right places and saying all the right things has a nasty way of making us feel proud about ourselves and our own accomplishments. With that, our Christianity soon becomes more about ourselves and things that we can do than what Jesus Christ and what he did on that cross for us. And that's a big red flag for Christians. That's a big trap. And as that happens, pride takes its place on center stage. And anyone who is not our kind, you know, is looked down and condemned, as the Pharisees did with that woman. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ, he knew all about her. This woman was still welcome at his feet. She was a sinner, but now she had a penitent expression because she repented for her sins and sought forgiveness from God. Jesus hates sin, but he loves the sinner. And he loved that woman so much. The problem with the Pharisee is that he could not see his own need for forgiveness. Because in his way of viewing, he was good. He had done nothing wrong. To love Jesus fervently, we must realize our great debt and need for forgiveness found only in Jesus Christ. As the two men in the parable that Jesus mentions, we have no way to pay our debts to God on our own. That's why he gave us Jesus Christ. So Psalm 51 says, God will gladly accept a heart that is broken because of sadness over sin. So repent. The secret is to repent and give it all to God. We see in verse 47 there, therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But who has been forgiven little loves little. The words of Jesus to the penitent woman were full of comfort. He told her that her faith had saved her, and secondly, go in peace. Peace comes with forgiveness. There never can be any true peace while sins are unforgiven. As Christians, we love like Jesus, we will see people's needs for redemption. The Holy Spirit will reveal that to us. We will see their eagerness for salvation. Seeing people through Jesus' eyes will intensify our passion for the lost. Jesus will help us to love the sinner like he does. You help us to see their hearts and not what they show outside. We will be able to live with the urgency and the desire to share God's love expressed to the life and sacrifice of our Savior Jesus Christ. So, how are you taking God's message for you today? I want to bring it to the personal level now. Maybe, like myself, who basically grew up in church, or who have been in church for many, many years. Like the Pharisee, we are familiar with the things of God, perhaps too familiar. We can quote John 3:16 even backwards. You don't need to try that now, but that would be a good exercise. The gospel does not stir our hearts as it used it to. We don't like to see ourselves in the Pharisee's shoes, but sometimes we can be there. And we need to be careful, because sometimes we do exactly the same thing as the Pharisees used to do. We miss the mark so badly, and we mess things up so easily, right? I want you to ask you these two questions here. In your relationship with God, or in my relationship with God, am I being like a Pharisee who carries all the legalistic stuff around, who is concerned about doing everything by the law? In the way that I apply God's word in my life, I pray that God will shake our apathy and we will love him the way that he wants and deserves to be loved by us. And the second question is, am I being like the woman who is truly seeking for hope and forgiveness in Jesus Christ? Because we must do that daily, right? We must seek God's presence with that desire daily. She did not care about what was going on around her. She was just rejoicing her Lord's presence. Her tears became tears of joy. She knew what Jesus Christ did for her, and that was the way that she could show her gratitude, her joy, her pleasure to be in her Savior's presence again. I hope that you take this image of that woman in before Jesus' feet with you tonight. I hope that you will take her attitude to the heart and learn from her experience, as we are invited to as we read our Bible. I hope you see that there is hope for the very worst of sinners there, the worst sinners who will come and ask Jesus Christ to forgive them. He will. He will, because he cannot deny himself in a way that he promises that if people come to him and ask to be forgiven and ask to be saved, he can only do that. Amen? Jesus Christ freely gives anyone who lay themselves in his presence. And the power of Christ's forgiveness causes us to love him deeply. Once we understand what he had done, as we will partake communion tonight here, and we will remember what he had done on that cross to save us, all the pain that he took. So we're getting to the end here, a couple minutes, but I just need to remind you about the gospel message. If you have not believed in Jesus Christ, repented from your sin, and surrender your life to him and invite him to come and save you, please do that. I don't know where you are in your faith. Maybe you're not at Cowboy Church on a Tuesday night, but you're listening to this on our website. You know, and I want to ask you this question. Like, have you prayed and invited Jesus Christ to come to your life? Please don't miss that. Don't miss that opportunity. So as most of us here tonight have already experienced Christ's forgiveness, and I pray that this message will stir your heart, shake your apathy, and you will willingly make a resolution this year to live with the urgency to share the gospel and intentionally be looking for opportunities. Because by loving more like Jesus, by living more like Jesus, by following his example, we will see people through his eyes and we will love them. It doesn't matter where they are. It doesn't matter how big they messed up, how bad they hurt someone, or how bad they hurt you. Jesus Christ can impact their lives, can forgive them. And that will be for everlasting, for an everlasting life. Amen? So we will move to our communion time, and tonight we'll be doing something a little bit different, okay? We'll be serving the elements there. I'll be serving you, and you take your cup, you take the bread, and you go back to your place, okay? After everyone have received the elements, I'll come back here, I will pray for the elements, and then we will partake them together. All right? So, but why do we do the Lord's Supper? That's what Jesus Christ told us to do, to remind about his sacrifice for us on that cross. And we need to do this to proclaim his salvation until he comes back. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that before you take from the elements, that you should examine yourself. Do you need to ask God to forgive you? Do you have any business to do with God? Please, do that at this time. You still have time, right? Do that and pray while people are getting the elements. And then we'll share that together after, okay? As I go, you guys can stand and come, please.